And good afternoon and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for some 50 years and allows us to bring you great shows like the one we have in store for you today. Before we go to our guest, just a couple of notes. First of all, tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer, and for our friends in Delaware County, if you're available at 11:30 tomorrow morning, you want to head over to Rose Tree Park in Media, and there they will be praying together for our nation. Again, that's tomorrow, 11:30 in Media at Rose Tree Park. We'll be having their National Day of Prayer there to pray for our country, and God knows we need it now more than ever. The second thing I want to let you know about is a retreat that I'm actually directing this weekend. It's a serenity retreat for women in recovery and those that are impacted by addiction. We're going to be out at the Malvern Retreat House starting at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. The retreat will wrap up probably around 11 o'clock at the latest on Sunday morning. There'll be a couple of talks, meals provided, and what have you. If you're interested in making the retreat, you can register online at the Retreat House's website, which is malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com, or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. And without any further ado, I'm happy to introduce our guest today. It's Marlene Watkins, and she is the founder of Our Lady of Lourdes Hospitality North American Volunteers, the first Lourdes Hospitality outside Europe and the first of the Americas. In 20 years as a volunteer, Marlene has led over 200 pilgrimages to Lourdes for more than 6,000 pilgrims, including the seriously ill and profoundly disabled, with medical, adult, university, and youth volunteers. Marlene has guided Lourdes' virtual pilgrimage experiences across North America and in Europe, Asia, South America, and Africa. In 2015, Marlene was named an Our Sunday Visitor Catholic of the Year. She's appeared on CBS, EWTN, PBS, BBC, and she hosts the EWTN My Lourdes Faith Journey miniseries. Marlene is a wife, mother, grandmother, secular Franciscan, and member of the Hospital Notre Dame de Lourdes. Marlene and her husband Bill live in Syracuse, New York, or are in the Lourdes Mobile RV, traveling America the Beautiful, sharing the gospel message of Lourdes. All proceeds from this book today that we're going to talk about, Everyday Miracles of Lourdes, supports the mission of Our Lady of Lourdes Hospitality North American Volunteers, a public association of the Christian faithful and a 501c3. Marlene, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much to have us today.
And the book we're talking about is Everyday Miracle of Lourdes, published by EWTN Publishing, available at EWTN's religious store, and encourage our listeners to either get it there or here locally in the Philadelphia area to visit the St. Jude shop if they don't have it in stock. I'm sure that they can get it for you rather quickly. So we only had a moment to talk before we're getting started here, and I know, but I don't want to assume that everybody knows exactly what Lourdes is. So before we get into the book, and I think that there's a chapter in the book even that explains Lourdes, but when and how this whole phenomena came about, Marlene, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, I think I'm a pretty typical Catholic, and when my friend from Philadelphia had her business card plucked out of a fishbowl in 2000, she said she wanted to go to Lourdes, and I said, oh, I love that place with the three little kids. Well, that's Fatima in Portugal. Different century, different message, but the same lady with a different dress. Lourdes is in France, and of course now I've come to know and love Lourdes well. And I knew about Lourdes, I knew about Fatima, but they seem kind of far away, so I think most of us, maybe unless we're really, really familiar with one or the other of those two apparitions, we might, you know, not know the difference between them. And some people might know it, like, for example, Our Lady of Guadalupe, because we're here in North America, but not necessarily Our Lady of Good Hope, that's, you know, now in Wisconsin, but, you know, Our Lady of Lourdes is probably the most famous for miracles in Lourdes water. So if you've ever heard of that, that would be the place we're talking about. also the black and white movie, the really old movie, The Song of Bernadette, from a long time ago, in the mid-40s and the 1950s. It was very popular. Sometimes they re-air it around February 11th. That's the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes. And so that, if you ever see a statue, for example, that has the Mother of God with a white veil and a white dress, and she's got a blue sash, golden roses at her feet, and she has rosaries made of pearls, that is Our Lady of Lourdes, the Immaculate Conception. But this all started in 1858, when the Mother of God came down from heaven and appeared on the side of a mountain above a little cave, in a little niche, a little hole above this shallow little cave on the outskirts of a town called Lourdes. And that's in the southwest of France. It's in the Pyrenees Mountains. And that's the natural border between France and Spain. And a little girl named Bernadette Subiru's, 14 years old, is very petite and small. She's uneducated. She doesn't go to school. She doesn't speak French. She speaks the local language. Her parents, too, are uneducated, which was common for about 50% of the people in France after the French Revolution. And this little girl goes collecting firewood with her sister and a friend. They leave and go on, and she crosses over and then experiences when heaven touched earth. She sees this beautiful, beautiful lady. She never says that she knows her name. She never calls her by a formal name. She calls her Akio, which means that one in her dialect. It means that if you're pointing to a thing, or that one if you're pointing to a person. She says she's just too beautiful to call by any woman's name. But the very first time they meet, and they meet actually 18 times in 1858, the first time is on February 11th, and that's now the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It's also the World Day of the Sick, instituted by St. John Paul II when he was Holy Father. And then the apparitions go on, and they end on July 16th. That's the last time Bernadette sees Our Lady. And when she sees her, at this point, she's across the river from her. But she says she's more close to me and more beautiful than ever before. But by then, Bernadette has made her first confession and her first Holy Communion. So it's almost like she has more clarity to see her better once she's received the Holy Eucharist. And so even if we're across the water, so to speak, and we can't get there, there's still great grace and learning about the message of Lourdes. And you can always get Lourdes water from us. If you contact us, it's on our website. If you have the internet, it's www.lourdesvolunteers.org. We send Lourdes water to anybody who requests it here in the United States and some other places as well. So if anybody's looking for the water at any time, we can maybe say it again later so that you can have a chance to get that if you won't be going to Lourdes. But since the miracles happened during the apparitions, and there's the message of Lourdes in there and the miracles that took place, a lot of people go to Lourdes, millions of people each year. During COVID, the chaplains were there praying for us when we weren't allowed to go to France. And nobody would have ever really expected that to happen. But in the great grace, we had a virtual pilgrimage experience where we bring the message of Lourdes, and then the Pope gave us a special indulgence to air on television so millions of people could watch it then. But during these 18 apparitions, there's really the heart of the message is prayer. Pray for sinners, and penance, penance, penance. And when she says that to Bernadette, she doesn't tell her to go get one. She doesn't have to go find something to offer. All of us already has something in our life that we're already enduring that we can offer up for someone else. We can say, well, I'm gonna make this offering, unite this to Christ, and offer it for the conversion of someone, maybe someone who has no one to pray for them, or somebody in our family or friends. We know that really need to know and come God, and to really either have a relationship with him or develop it in a deeper way, in some kind of a change of heart. I mean, that's what a conversion really is. And each of us probably has some place in our hearts that we need to have grow closer to God. And so it's prayer and penance are the messages of Lourdes, and of course, miracles happen. And they're biblical-like miracles. It's like the blind man who touches water to his eye and he can see. And there's also a woman with a paralyzed arm is the first miracle. And she's able to move her arm freely and make the sign of the cross. So they're New Testament-like miracles that are taking place at Lourdes. And what makes Lourdes probably so famous is that these miracles are authenticated. So there's a medical bureau in Lourdes, France, and there's a physician there. He says he has a very unique job. because most people go to the doctors when they're sick. But he's a doctor that they come to when they're cured. So they come in, and then he has to do this tremendous work and job of proving that the person was sick with what they claim. So there's a lot of medical documentation. It's an exhaustive process. It's a really strict set of criteria that the Catholic Church uses. And we're grateful for that, because then it leaves no doubt. It leaves no question. So it has to be a very, very serious disease that the person has as its worst condition. And they have to have had no treatment that could have been effective to cure it. It has to be a sudden, instantaneous, total and complete cure that's long-lasting, that could not have happened on its own. So that's a really strict set of rules that they're using, like we said, called the Lambertini. And that process usually takes 5 to 10 years to gather the records, the documentation. And, you know, with HIPAA laws, here in the United States, for example, people's records are destroyed after 7 years. So sometimes it's difficult to prove that the person had what they did. And it has to be something measurable, like something that can be quantified by an X-ray or a blood test. So it has to be something serious. So, you know, there's 70 approved miracles by the Catholic Church from Lourdes. There's over 7,800 cases of people who've come and claimed that they've been cured, and they can be called an inexplicable or an unexplained cure. And that means that the medical committee at Lourdes can't explain what happened to this person. Science cannot explain it. But notice that the medical bureau doesn't call it a miracle. That's a holy word. They don't teach that in medical school. So they're there for the science part of it. And this medical committee, the Camille and Emil, the two of them, they have a lot of good, wonderful, faithful Catholic doctors on there. But they also have others who are of no religion at all, or different religions, believe in God or not. Because this is a scientific committee that's looking to evaluate, can they explain what happened to this person who claims that they were cured, healed, or had a miracle. So it has to be something physical, organic, and measurable. But there are also other kinds of cures that take place at Lourdes, other kinds of healings and conversions that are life-changing and profound. Like when we read in the Gospel about the paralytic who picks up his stretcher and walks, and our Lord says, what's greater, your sins are forgiven. So right away we're seeing that it's elevated, that this change of life or change of heart is becoming equal to which is greater, the body or the soul. The soul is for eternal, it's forever, and the body's temporary, it's just for this life. And so we know that these miracles that take place at Lourdes that don't qualify for the medical bureau are nonetheless really profound, and they're extraordinary. And so this book, Everyday Miracles of Lourdes, really talks about what we call everyday miracles, things that are happening every day, all the time at Lourdes, that are different than the cures that are reported to the medical bureau. So these kinds of cures can't be X-rayed. But there are two chapters of the book where the people do go to the medical bureau. So they do have, one is for Lou Gehrig's disease, and the other one is for a gunshot wound that wouldn't heal after 11 years, 33 surgeries, and 3 skin grafts. So, and the Lord's water is poured in and heals overnight. So there are some of them who do go to the medical bureau, but, you know, some of the suffering that's in this book, and, you know, someone's looking for a miracle, then there's something wrong. There's something that they're suffering or enduring, or something that happened that makes them want to have God intervene. And that's what a miracle is. A miracle is when God intervenes. It's something that we can't do as humans. It's something that's beyond that. It's in the gospel, that's how they knew Jesus was our Lord, because he performed miracles, and they knew that's got to be God. And so when we hear about these kinds of experiences, and some people might call them a coincidence, and others might call them a God incidence, or some people will maybe not believe them. But, you know, when you see repeatedly these profound, extraordinary experiences happening again and again and again, there's just too many of them for us to ignore or discount them if we really want to look.
Yeah, and we here, in addition to doing the radio, we we've been working for the canonization of Matt Talbot for quite a while now, and a couple of times, you know, we thought we had miracles that had been received through the intercession of Matt Talbot, but they, when they get to the medical board in Rome, different from the one of the Lord's, obviously, but I'm sure just as stringent, they've determined in both of those cases that they can't confirm that it was an actual miracle. And so I know how difficult that scrutiny can be sometimes, and maybe people are disappointed because, you know, they'll come up with, you know, this could have happened this way or that way. That wasn't necessarily a miracle that took place. But even I think even more important than that and what you were talking about is that oftentimes the miracles that I've seen occur have not been ones that you can document physically. It can be that that person that perhaps is seeking a medical cure and ends up going to confession for the first time in decades, and they receive a spiritual healing that they never anticipated. But unfortunately, the physical healing doesn't take place. But somehow or other, they have a whole new attitude towards whatever it is that they're afflicted with. So at least in the ministries that I'm involved in and the people that I work with, I see more of those types of miracles than the actual physical healings that one might experience at Lourdes.
Yeah, and those, like you said, if somebody experiences a conversion or comes back to the sacraments, you can't x-ray that. So it doesn't qualify, but it doesn't mean it's any less profound or life-changing than a physical cure. And that's, you know, the one of the chapters in chapter 4 in the book is a woman with Lou Gehrig's disease. And when they went into the investigative process for her over 10 years, they referred to a definitive test that's required for that diagnosis. And they say, of course, that she, you know, they diagnosed her because of this test result. But the test itself is missing out of her record. They couldn't find the actual test. They couldn't come to an agreement together. I mean, she did qualify for Lou Gehrig's disease for a diagnosis for all of her medication, her treatment, her benefits, everything. They, you know, absolutely diagnosed her, and rightfully so. But if you don't have the right documentation afterwards when you're cured, you can't go back and prove that you really had it. So sometimes it's a matter of missing documentation. Or, and you know, there's at Lourdes, out of the 70 miracles, there's a little boy who can't come and report his cure for years because of the war. So sometimes the person just doesn't have what's needed. The other person in the book, is an extraordinary experience. She suffered terrible abuse. She had an abusive marriage, and it was very difficult. She was married very young at 19. They were both young. And he was a non-vet in. She didn't know what PTSD was. She didn't know what alcoholism or drug addiction was. And so they really suffered terribly. And ultimately, in the end, there's a lot more detail in the book and story of her life and how this all came about. But ultimately, to protect herself, she gets a gun. And she has it loaded near her bed to protect herself and her daughters. But unfortunately, when he gets into the house, the gun falls out from under the bed, and he puts it right to her gut and pulls the trigger at a point-blank shooting. And, you know, how she survived that is already, you know, medically, they just don't know how she even survived it. But she was, you know, crying in a pool of her blood when he ran for God to save her so she could raise her little girl. And she doesn't know how she was even able to call the phone, but she did get in an ambulance. And she had over 11 years 33 surgeries to try to close this open wound in her abdomen, the front of her gut. And it was about the size of a lemon, and it would just get infected all the time. And, you know, ultimately in the end, she just says to God, you know, if I didn't have to clean the infection out of here every day, I wouldn't have to kill that man. So she actually gets revenge. She's so vengeful and hateful and angry and terrified because he's going to be released from prison after 11 years. Because he didn't bring the loaded gun with him, it wasn't considered premeditated. It was considered a manslaughter attempt. So she said, he gets out after 11 years, and I'm in the wheelchair, and, you know, I can't walk very far, and I'm having infections all the time. She was hospitalized for over a year after the shooting, and she just becomes bitter and angry and resentful and hateful and wants vengeance. She also wants to protect herself and her daughters. So she hatches a plan. She's making a plan how she's going to do away with this guy. And, you know, it's really, really tragic. And, you know, so she's watching TV in the middle of the night, and she sees a rerun of a show that we're on, offering Lord's water. And she remembered that when she was a little girl, the nuns taught her about Lourdes. And so she sent away for the water. She called us up, and she said when she received it, she was a girl of science. She said, you don't take water and that's not sterilized and dump it into an open wound that gets infected all the time. And when we say infected, we mean get in the hospital, get on an IV. I mean, it was, you know, a serious infection. She said, and I looked at the water laying in bed, and I said, you know, Lord, if you want to heal me, okay, but if not, in the morning when we get up, I'll go to the hospital and get an IV for an infection, because I know I shouldn't pour this unsterilized water in this open wound. But the three skin grafts had failed and the 33 surgeries. So she pours the water and wakes up in the morning after 11 years, and this hole, that's the gaping hole about the size of a lime, is completely healed over, and the skin grew overnight while she was sleeping. And you would think, after what she made a deal with God. She said, if I don't have to clean out this infection every day and scoop this out of here, I wouldn't have to kill him now, would I? And she says, it's healed. You would think I would have said, Lord, this is a miracle. Thank you. I won't do this. And, you know, I'm sorry. But nope, she doesn't. But the nurse on our pilgrimage is after her. She's got to come. She's got to come to Lord. She says, I'm in good old Catholic guilt. She says, I felt guilty they gave me that water, and that I was cured. So she winds up going to Lourdes. And while she's there, she goes into the bath. And when she's submerged on the water, she says, it's just this tremendous grace. When she stands up and walks out, all of the vengeance and the hatred just washes off in that water. And she looked so different, and it's in the book, that I didn't recognize her. I was with her the whole week. And I walked past her because I did not recognize her. I stopped and said, you look like a million bucks. I didn't even recognize her. I walked past her twice. And she said, I won the spiritual lottery in the bath yesterday. Mm. So she had this tremendous healing of repentant forgiveness. The hatred was out of her heart. The ladies in the deceased that recommended her to go over to the chaplains. She went to confession. She confessed what her plan was. She was sorry. She called it off. And it changed her life. It absolutely changed her life. So it wasn't just a physical cure. She did go to the medical bureau when she came back to volunteer in Thanksgiving a few years later. She went to the medical bureau and opened a claim. And they said, hey, that's worth looking at. You know, they opened her file and said, you know, 33 surgeries, 11 years, three skin grafts failed, and it heals instantaneously overnight while you're sleeping. It's the largest organ of the body is human skin, so we're going to look into that. And but, you know, even the medical director said, but, you know, this forgiveness and this the hatred washing away, that you can't x-ray that, but that is extraordinary. It changed her life. It changed everything. It was just amazing. And so she opened the claim in the medical bureau, and she went home, and a few weeks later she was killed in a car accident. So her cause of looking into this cure did not move forward. It doesn't mean it wasn't valid. It just means it never processed through what's necessary in the scrutiny because she died. But what an incredible grace that she died going to the sacrament. She's back in the church. She's, you know, gone to confession, and she's joyful and living a good life. And so our Lord calls her home at this wonderful time instead of when she's hateful and vengeful and, you know, planning, you know, to murder someone. I mean, that is incredible. That's amazing. But you can't x-ray it. So those are the kinds of stories that are in the book that are different kinds of life-changing experiences, things that you mentioned that, you know, people you know, there's a another, you know, woman in the book early on in the chapter, I heard about your retreat this weekend, and we'll be praying. You know, if you want us to send you some Lord's water, if you can get it by Friday, we're happy to send you some out tomorrow. And I'd hope it would get to you if we overnight it maybe, and have some of that, because people are short of addictions at Lourdes, all kinds of addictions. You know, it's the Immaculate Conception is what Our Lady says her name is to Bernadette, and that's how the church knows that she's the Mother of God. She's the only person with this title, this name. It's who she is. And, you know, so she is immaculate. She's purity. She's a pure and perfect vessel to give birth to Christ. And, you know, people who have problems with impurity, I mean, it's a scourge out there that there's pornography available, you know, all over this technology, and some people innocently get just pulled into it. You know, addictions of, you know, alcohol and drugs and, you know, different things that are out there, and especially during crisis and a time when people are struggling, maybe they've fallen back in. You know, Lourdes is known as a place of cures for that. So we can send some Lourdes water, and there's a chapter in the book about a woman who really, really struggles, you know, with different addictions and prescription drugs. A lot of people, that's the gateway for them into this addiction they never, ever expected to have. But how she receives a great grace for that in Lourdes. So there's, you know, different kinds of healing that, again, not in this book are not the ones that go to the medical bureau and follow through with the process that really amazing. There's a woman in the book who had an abortion, and she said, I always had a hole in me. She suffered every day. She said, every day I suffered with this and couldn't say anything to anybody. It was just a horrible suffering for her. And winds up coming to you when she becomes a Catholic. She's grateful for that. She knows she's forgiven, but she said the hole never goes away. The forgiveness is there, but the hole remains, the consequence of that. And then she goes to Lourdes to volunteer, and they ask if she also wants to have a bath. So she's been giving women baths all week. She goes in, and she said, totally unexpected. She said, I go down in the water, and the hole is filled with the liquid grace of that water. And she comes out, she says, I'm whole for the first time in my life, in 30 years, for the first time since I was 15, I'm whole again. And she measures her life as before she went to Lourdes and after she went to Lourdes. I mean, it really had that profound of an impact on her life. So those are the kinds of stories that are in there. Each one of them is very different. None of the stories are anything alike. They're all completely different. They're all real people. Their pictures are in the book. All of them agreed to have their story in the book. And none of them were wanting to bear their personal suffering out into the world, but they all agreed very humbly that it is humbling when God, you know, intercedes in your life and it touches you very deeply in your soul, and you have this you know, healing in your soul, and that, you know, they felt compelled to agree to share it in case anyone else was suffering like them, that they could know that there's healing, that they can find healing and grace and peace and conversion and extraordinary life-changing experiences by the intercession of Our Lady. You know, she's a proven effective, intercessor. If we go to the, you know, the story of Cana, she, you know, we know at the wedding that she asked our Lord, and you know, he loves his mother, and he tells us to behold her, so we are beholden to her. And so we know if we ask her to pray for us that she's listening. And, of course, we ask each other to pray for us. So it's, you know, the difference is we're asking somebody who's a proven friend in heaven as opposed to somebody who's maybe across town or, you know, next to us. But that intercession is really powerful, and it's at work today in Lourdes. So the Gospels from 2,000 years ago, we didn't miss out. You know, Jesus didn't just come for them 2,000 years ago and the rest of us too bad. No, he's still active in our lives today. Our Lord is very present, and he hears us. And I just think there's a great grace in these stories, and that maybe there's a chapter in there for somebody to read that will inspire them to know that they're open to a healing grace.
Very good. We've reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. Again, our guest today is Marlene Watkins. The book we're talking about is entitled Everyday Miracles of Lourdes, published by EWTN Publishing, available at the EWTN Religious Store, also available at Sophia's website, sophiainstitute.com, and locally here in the Philadelphia market at the St. Jude Shop. Marlene, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I've got a couple of interesting questions for you as a result of what you've said in the last few minutes. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And in addition to the spot that we play, I personally want to thank all of our listeners for all that you do for us here in His Sign Catholic Radio that allows me, allows us to bring you shows like today's. And Marlene, it never fails to amaze me the how God brings people into our lives at just the right time. And I'm sure you've experienced this when you've been able to either take people to Lourdes or provide the Lourdes water for them, that God probably puts you in the path of these people, not early, not late, but exactly when they need it. And I'm going to take you up on your offer for the retreat this weekend. I shot you an email with the address for the retreat house because I probably have to be there earlier than it might get there on Friday if you overnight it tomorrow. But if it goes directly to the retreat house, I'll be able to get it. And I'm already thinking in my mind how we'll put together a little service, a prayer session, and give the ladies an opportunity to make use of the water. So I can't thank you enough for offering that, and you did it on public. Everybody heard it. So,
yeah.
But the women there, I'm sure, will be excited. And so that's one of the things that here in the I'm involved in a couple of different ministries: this radio ministry and addiction ministry. And there were two things that came to mind. One is that we throw around a phrase a lot: "Is that odd or is that God?" And we try to get people to share about the things that God has done in their lives, the way that He's touched them. And oftentimes there are things that a normal person on the street is not going to think of as a miracle, but the person that experiences it, like you said, they know it's a miracle, that there's no other way this could have possibly happened except through God's intervention. And I think we need to share more of that. And that's why I think this book is important, because it shows real examples, provable examples in some cases, of ways in which God continues to intervene in our lives, even though Jesus Christ went back to heaven over 2,000 years ago, or close to 2,000 years ago. And you talk about this in the beginning of the book, either in the preface or the introduction, about how we need to know that God still cares about each and every one of us and cares intimately. And sometimes we need to get on a plane and go to Lourdes. Sometimes we just need to go to our rooms and pray in order to experience Him, right?
Right. Well, we find that it's, I love what you say, that it's in God's perfect time. You know, when people say, in God's time, and that really is. I mean, there's some people that will never make the journey. That's why you have virtual pilgrimage, where we bring the rock, piece of the grotto where Our Lady stood, and bring Lourdes water and learn about the message of Lourdes and pray the rosary together and have a procession. And it's a way of bringing that grace here for people who won't be traveling to France, because not everybody's going to go there. Not everybody's going to make it all the way over there. So for those who do, it's a great blessing. Nobody leaves empty-handed. And the pilgrimage, we have doctors and nurses and, physical therapists, respiratory therapists, anything that's needed to bring a person to France. So, we have people who come with us on ventilators. So a ventilator, if that machine stops, they die. So, we have all the batteries packed. We do everything prudently to bring the person. They know and understand the risks. It's their desire to go. And so we have these really wonderful medical professionals who give up their time, pay their own way, and come and serve and volunteer and make it possible for somebody to do that international travel to get to the grotto. We have people on oxygen concentrators, kidney dialysis, infusion therapy, people nearing the end of their life, and they say, if I die on the way over there, I'd rather die trying to go than I never went at all. So we have people of all different kinds of needs, and people in wheelchairs, quadriplegic, and there's a chapter in the book about a young man who starts to get bitter, being in the chair and living in an institutional life. He's, really, really, really comes to get bitter with God and comes to Lourdes, and it completely changes him. And he's an incredible guy. This is something that's not in the book, but if I could take a minute to share this with you, he's a great guy. He has a chapter in the book. His name is Jamie. And if anybody happened to watch the CBS 60 Minutes piece that aired in December, we worked with CBS on that for a few months, and they interview him on that show, and he's in his wheelchair, and he's talking about, how his life was changed by this grace in Lourdes. And his story is in the book. It's a beautiful chapter in the book. But one of the times when we were traveling, and, he's on our team now. I know he's a quadriplegic. He can't even scratch his nose, but he's a very powerful person in his faith. And so he was traveling with someone else going to Minneapolis, St. Paul, who got stuck in security, and they got pulled aside, and they were going to miss the plane. So Jamie's already loaded onto the aircraft, buckled into his seat, and they removed his wheelchair. And so I call him on his cell phone, which rings on his belt, and then someone in the plane, he has to get them to take the phone and put it up to his ear, answer it for him, and put it up to his ear. So I call him and say, James, Julie's not going to make it through security in time. You have to hold that plane. And I hang up the phone. I said, okay, but hold the plane. And someone says to me, did you just ask the quadriplegic man to hold the aircraft? I said, yes. It never occurred to me not to ask him. And of course, because I knew he would. And so he talks to the people around him and says, can you please help me? I really need this plane not to leave without my nurse traveling with me. And we travel together. And so the people around him think, yeah, we got to wait. And then they talk to the people around them. And pretty soon the captain comes out of the cockpit and comes over and asks Jamie, what does he need? And he said, I need my nurse. She's stuck in security. He's held up, but she'll be here any minute. Can you please wait? And the captain agrees. Everybody on the plane is grateful that they're all, it's difficult to wait, but they know that he needs to have her. And when she arrives at the door, finally, she's also in a wheelchair, and she's a double amputee, this RN. She's a registered nurse, but a double amputee. And the pilot is stunned, and he looks at her, and he looks at Jamie, and he said, this is your nurse? And he says, you should see my doctor. He's this great sense of humor, and everybody in the plane laughs, and instead of being upset that they're late, everybody applauds, and she gets on the aircraft. But, when we met him, he wasn't that way. He was bitter, and going to Lourdes really was a change of heart for him. And if we look up conversion in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it really is a change of heart. That's ultimately what that is. It's turning our heart towards God. So there's all these different stories in there, different things that happen to different people that are really, really profound. And it's the evidence. You know, God performs miracles so we can know that He's God and we can know that He's present in our lives. And so when we see these miracles happen with other people, that tells us, inspires us to deepen our faith or to know that there's a God that does these incredible, amazing things. And, you know, there are books about the 70 cures and the hundreds of cures. And, you know, you're looking for the, you know, the miracle intercession for Matt Talbot. And that'll prove that he has the heavenly intercession that he's making. And we're grateful that it's such a difficult process because it really has to pass all this scrutiny. And that proves that it's God. It's beyond something we can do. So, but these 20 stories in the book are all everyday people like you and me that went to Lourdes that didn't expect this to happen to them, and yet it did. And here they are, the living proof. And like I said, you can look at the picture. There are a few people who did die that we couldn't ask, such as the woman who was shot, but we know that she shared her story on film with us. Not knowing that she would die or that there'd ever be this book at the time. But, you know, so, but we spoke to other people who were there with her. I know every single person in these chapters. These aren't stories that I heard. These are things that I witnessed and I experienced, and these amazing people and their incredible stories of faith. And, you know, I think maybe nowadays all of us could just use some good news.
Amen.
we need to be hearing some good things of hope and some inspiring. So when we send you down some Lourdes water, we're gonna throw in a couple books there for you, because maybe there's some of those ladies that just need to know something inspiring. That and then it makes us more able to ask God. If we know He's doing this for somebody else, then we can ask for ourselves and ask in confidence. And you know, I think like Our Lady is, she's like our heavenly mother. She's like our perfect mother. You know, for those of us who don't have a good relationship with our mother, or maybe our mother has died and she's not with us, or maybe we don't even know her, whatever, you know, we have a heavenly mother. God gives us a mother and a father in our faith. We have both. And she is always watching over us. Her gaze is always there from the ground, no matter where we are. And so I'm hoping that maybe somebody listening that just needs to have an encouraging word, that know that God is incredible and can do anything and all things, that you know, that this book will maybe reach somebody on a day that's dark, or a day where they just need some encouragement or some joy to know that these incredible things happen.
Yeah, again, our guest today is Marlene Watkins. The book we're talking about is Everyday Miracles of Lourdes, published by EWTN, available at EWTN's religious store, sophiainstitute.com. And locally here in the Philadelphia market at the St. Jude's shop. And, you know, I've been listening to you for a little while now, Marlene, and you can just hear the holy excitement in your voice, that it's authentic because you've got to witness, and God's allowed you to witness some of these miracles. And, you know, I've been fortunate. I was just sharing with a group of guys this morning that, you know, God has done the same thing for me. And every once in a while, somebody that we've touched will come back and let us know what God's done in their lives and the little role that we had to play in it. And I don't think there's any greater satisfaction in the world than when something like that occurs. But as you're talking, and we're talking about the Lourdes water, and again, we want to make sure everybody's aware of the website. It's lourdesvolunteers.org. That's lourdesvolunteers.org. You can learn more about Marlene's ministry, the trips to Lourdes, as well as the virtual pilgrimages. I took a quick look at the site, and everything that you need to know can be found there. But you've mentioned the woman who struggled for a long time with the open wound. And here in Philadelphia, and I'm sure in other places around the country, there's a drug that's on the streets now. It's referred to as Trank, and it's used in addition to fentanyl or heroin to, you know, make it bigger and better than, you know, what those other drugs are by themselves. But one of the issues with it is it can leave gaping holes in people's skin. The people, they develop wounds that the drug causes because the body wants to get rid of the drug but doesn't have a way to break it down. And so it opens up these wounds. And I'm just, something's telling me that there's something in this combination of the Lord's water and the people that we minister to that maybe, even if they don't receive that physical healing that they might be looking for, that just to let them know, you know, this is a way of letting them know that God actually cares about them. And whether or not they bring about a physical cure, that spiritual cure is the one that we've mentioned a few times, is sometimes so much more important than the physical one. So I'm not sure where all this is leading, but I know it's leading somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that because you're in Philadelphia, and there's somebody in the book who said they were from East Philadelphia, which means New Jersey.
So. yeah.
So that's what they call it. And her name is Andrea. She's a chapter in the book. And she has an incredible story, too. But ultimately what happens is Andrea's wish, it's her wish that anybody who needs to go to Lourdes should be able to go. And that was her wish. And so there's a fund called Andrea's Wish, and people generously give to it to make it possible for other people to go. And, you know, I just said to somebody the other day, is that I'd love to volunteer. I just can't afford it now since, you know, I think since COVID, a lot of people, you know, struggled financially and for different reasons. And, you know, that people just say, I just really can't go at this time financially. And I say, well, please go to the website and fill out an application, because every year we always have somebody who pays their way, is going to go, and then something comes up and they can't go. And lots of times they just say to us, but just get somebody else to go in my place. So, you know, it'd be surprising to you how few people actually take us up on that offer. And, you know, that we just received a gift the other day for a volunteer. They read the book, and I don't know this person. They read the book and said, I just want to send a volunteer, because they were reading about the volunteers. A lot of the people who actually experience these everyday miracles are volunteers who don't go there to get cured themselves. They go there to help others. And, you know, I think that that's a beautiful gift, that they go there selflessly. But when they have one hand and the other hand holding on a stretcher or a wheelchair for someone else, it's a clear shot to their heart, and they wind up having a miracle of their own, an everyday miracle. So somebody read the book and sent money, that, you know, saying, I want to help a volunteer to get there. So, you know, for people who are sick, and a lot of people who are struggling or suffering, they, you know, part of their struggle and suffering is they probably lose a lot financially along the way. And I know that in my own personal life and our own family, that, you know, there's a lot of people struggling now. And, you know, so, but it doesn't mean it's not possible to go. It doesn't make it impossible. And remember, my best friend out of Philadelphia had her business card plucked out of a fishbowl. She won the tickets to go the first time we went. So with God, all things are possible. And I just thought of that, the East Philly. Is that a common expression?
I've heard it.
Comes from New Jersey. They say right off, I guess it's right over the bridge. You know, I've driven it, but I got a chuckle out of that. It's called East Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I don't know how common it is. I've certainly heard it before. And most of the people who live on the other side of those bridges have migrated from Philadelphia. So,
yeah.
And thus the reference. We have just about 5 minutes left. Again, one last time, our guest today is Marlene Watkins. The book we're talking about is Everyday Miracles of Lourdes, 20 Extraordinary Experiences Along the Way to the Grotto. I think there's a great book to put on the nightstand, because it is 20 different stories. You don't have to, I don't think it's a book that you sit down and try to plow through all at once, that maybe a story a day or every other day, however you want to do it, would be a great way to absorb the information that's provided here. Again, it's published by EWTN and available at the EWTN Religious Store and SophiaInstitute.com. So, we've got just a few minutes left. Marlene, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to get to our listeners before we have to let you go?
Well, I know there's, like I said, each of the stories is very, very different. We didn't mention all of them, and that doesn't mean any one is better than the other. They're like, you know, different facets of a beautiful jewel of the grace and gift that God gives us in healing. But I really do encourage people, if they can, to, you know, to read the stories. And like you said, you don't have to read the whole book in one sitting. But somebody told us that we gave a talk about the book in a parish. And so if you'd like to invite us to come and speak in your parish or in your area, you know, with the permission of your bishop, from our bishop. Our bishop, by the way, gave the imprimatur to this book. So there's a Neil Obstadt and an imprimatur in this book, meaning that there's nothing here contrary to the faith, and that it's worthy of reading. But so if you would like to invite us to come, or to your women's conference and speak about these experiences, so we're pleased to come and share that grace of Lourdes through the virtual pilgrimage, bringing the message of Lourdes to your parish or the prison, to schools. And then we have guides in Spanish and English and French, and we have them, you know, throughout the country, so no matter where you live. But I know this is in the Philadelphia area, but we have people that will come and bring the message of Lourdes in your area, or we can come and talk about the book. And we're just happy to share the grace of Lourdes, because it's made a difference in our lives, and we want to share that with others so they can have the same grace. But I want to say that one man the other night said, I got to give you a warning. He said, I already read the book. He stood up at the talk at the end, and he said, it's like a bag of potato chips. You just think you're going to eat just one, but you wind up eating the whole bag. So some people say they start reading them, and they think, a priest said to the other day to me, I thought, this story is so great, the next one can't be that good. And he said, but all of them were, you know, they have their own shine. They have their own, you know, brilliance of their stories. So we're hopeful that, you know, people will, you know, just be renewed in their faith or inspired into faith by reading these stories. And that, you know, it's, I have to tell everybody, I'm not a trained writer. I'm not a professional. Don't have a college degree to write books. I just was privileged to witness these experiences and promised our Lord I would write them down. It took me 20 years to get to it, but now there's more stories and the great grace to tell there. And it's about the message of Lourdes too, so you can learn that along the way. So we're hoping it's going to come out in an ebook this year. It's also available in French. It's translated into Spanish now, and next it'll be in Mandarin, and then German and Italian.
Very good. You've been busy, and it seems like God has seen fit to publish this book right on time. So, again, our guest today has been Marlene Watkins. The book we're talking about is Everyday Miracle of Lourdes. I hope you'll pick up a copy. Remember that all the proceeds from the book goes to the organization that she founded, and you can learn more about that at lourdesvolunteers.org. Marlene, I can't thank you enough for spending the whole hour with us explaining not only the stories in the book, but the overall Lourdes story, and how God just continues to bless us despite everything that we see going on around us, that God is alive and well and willing to act in our lives if we'll just open our hearts and souls to Him. So thank you for all that you've done in the past hour. I did shoot you an email with the address for the retreat house. If we can make that work, that'd be awesome. And I'm sure I'll be personally in touch with you in the very near future.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much to have us, and we'll be praying for your retreat this weekend, and everybody who's listening here, we're going to Lourdes, and we'll be praying for you there.
Very good. Thanks, Marlene. I hope our paths cross again real soon. God bless you.
Thanks. All right. God bless.
Bye-bye. So it never fails to amaze on these Wednesday afternoons. Some of these interviews are set up weeks or months in advance based on when books are coming out and the availability of the authors and those types of things. And once again, it's just been like my motto for the last month or so, that God is great at connecting the dots. He's going to put people in our lives at just the right moment. And, you know, is it odd or is it God that Marlene comes on today and is willing to overnight me some Lourdes water just in time to share with the women who, for whatever reason, God has seen fit to allow me to minister to this weekend. And who knows what will come of it. Will there be a miracle? And now it's, you know, hope springs eternal with our Lord, because we never know what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of faith. You know, whenever the chips are down, and we think that, you know, things, you know, aren't looking up or and won't look up for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden something happens, and some kind of miracle occurs. And again, they're not always the physical ones that we can document, but the, you know, the spiritual miracles that are so much more important than the physical ones. So again, on this Wednesday, you know, you get to spend 2 hours doing something that I never in a million years thought that I would be doing at this time of my life. And it's only because of you. Without your support, we'd have been off the airwaves a long, long time ago. But because of your support, we're able to bring you stories like today's and talk about the saints and talk about all the gifts of our Catholic faith and hopefully provide some tools for you to continue to spread the faith, and especially to encourage you to witness to what God has done in your own life to others so that they may be open to experiencing God in their own lives. And brothers and sisters, that's what's going to bring about this kingdom on earth. We talk a lot on the last Wednesday of the month about the divine will and that kingdom. And God made us a promise. Jesus made us a promise in that Lord's Prayer that the kingdom is going to come to earth. And some of us think it's coming sooner rather than later. So thanks for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. For me personally, that certainly appreciate your prayers, not only for me, but for the women that will be attending the retreat this weekend, that God will give us all exactly what we need. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. And until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.